And now the 10-minute weekly devotional. God Has a Plan for Your Life, Part 2.
A good Sunday morning to all. As always, it's good to have a pen and paper ready. It's nice to be able to jot down the passages so you can review them later. I will be reading mostly from the King James Version this morning. Last week we looked at the story of Joseph. We saw that from being sold by his brothers and throughout the different circumstances he was placed in all along the way, that God had a very special plan for Joseph's life. But through these trials, the furthest thing from his mind was that he would be promoted to second in command in Egypt. Today we will be continuing the same theme as last week. This devotion is entitled, God Has a Plan for Your Life, Part 2. Before we begin, let's ask for the Holy Spirit's leading. Lord, in Jeremiah 29:11, you have told us that you have wonderful plans for us, plans of peace, to prosper us, to give us hope. We pray that we would allow you to work out your plan in our life. We thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We began last week with Jeremiah 29:11. Reading from the New International Version, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So God's plans for us are plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope, plans to give us a future. So we know that God has good plans for our lives. But can we actually know what that plan is? To answer this question, we're going to see the specific plans that God had for several characters in the Bible. Of course, the Bible is full of amazing examples, but we will just look at a few of my favorites. And as we study, we are going to see that there is a fundamental plan that God has for each one of us. Let's begin in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 19. Paul here is sharing his story with King Agrippa. As I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. So, what is God's purpose for Saul? To make him a minister and a witness. Continuing with verse 16, Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So God is here calling Paul into a specific ministry. He is being called to the Gentiles. But it goes on, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Of course, the Apostle Paul was not given all the intricate little details of God's plans for him, but he came to know the mission God had for his life and was therefore able to align himself with it, if he chose to. Our God, of course, is a God of freedom and he'll never use force, but thankfully, when Paul finally realized God's true plan for him, he chose to align himself with it. And so Paul tells King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. In other words, when God's general plan was revealed to Paul, he didn't resist it. So he went from being Saul, persecutor of the Christians, to the great itinerant apostle Paul, messenger to the Gentiles. God helped Paul to see. He turned Paul from Satan to God, from darkness to light, and told Paul what his eternal purpose was. He revealed the gospel to Paul. Paul already knew the Old Testament scriptures very well, but in them he had missed the gospel. How did Paul learn the gospel? He saw Christ, this bright light, high and lifted up. Christ is the gospel. At that point, everything changed for Paul. He stopped kicking against the pricks. Amazingly, though in the worst rebellion, actually persecuting and killing the Christian believers, God was able to reveal himself and communicate his mission to Paul. And God has not changed. The same is true for us. If we stop kicking against the pricks, If we stop resisting, God will reveal himself to us and communicate his mission and save us. In Proverbs 29:18, we are told, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." In the Message translation, it reads like this: "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves." Up to the point when Paul finally saw Christ, finally stopped resisting the Spirit, Paul was a mess. He was all over the place. He was in great mental anguish. The point here is that we also need to know what God's mission is for our lives. Without God's direction, the Bible says we will run wild and perish. Saul needed a vision. He needed a glimpse of the purpose God had for him, because Saul had definitely been going in the wrong direction. So God is saying, "I want you to know the plans I have for you. They are plans to prosper you, to heal you, to give you hope and a future." For those of you who have just tuned in, this is the 10-Minute Weekly Devotional, and we are looking at part 2 of last week's devotion. Now, I want us to look at another person that God had a plan for and that came to know God's plans for him. Let's turn to Isaiah 45. Reading for verses 1 through 5, we find the plans that God had for, well, for someone who knew nothing of the God of Israel. His name was Cyrus, and he was commanding general of the Medo-Persian armies. Reading from Isaiah 45, 1 through 5. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." Did God have a plan for Cyrus? Oh, yes. God would use Cyrus, commanding general of the Medes and the Persians, to conquer Babylon and set the Jewish captives free from their 70-year captivity. But more than that, Cyrus would also help fund the restoring of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 44, verse 28. "Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid." Amazing. God had some pretty specific plans for Cyrus. But it even gets more incredible. This prophecy about Cyrus in the book of Isaiah was written more than 100 years before Cyrus was born. When Cyrus heard about the plan that the God of Israel had for him, when he read the message that was personally addressed to him by name, by the ruler of the universe, more than 100 years before he was born, his heart was so profoundly impacted that he determined he was going to fulfill his divinely appointed mission. Listen to Cyrus's very own words in the book of Ezra, chapter 1. Reading from verse 1. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God." Wow, did you hear that? Cyrus recognized that he was dealing with the true God. And the very fact that the God of heaven knew him by name 100 years before he was born and knew how Cyrus would actually capture Babylon, well, this just blew Cyrus away, and he decided that he would fulfill the divine mission that the God of Israel had for his life. God had a plan for Cyrus, even though Cyrus, a pagan king, did not know God. God had a plan for Saul, even though he was on his way to kill more Christians. Two apparently very unlikely individuals were used powerfully in building up God's kingdom. Many of you listening this morning may feel that you've messed up too badly for God to ever have a use for you in his great work, that there is no possible way to salvage God's purpose. Listen to God's word to you today. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior.